Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business. So should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
I love it.
So you're asking yourself, what the heck are these two doing? Why are they playing Sean Cassidy?
Yeah.
Best known for his portrayal of Joe Hardy in the Hardy Boys.
Yes, the Hardy Boys. Nancy Drew.
Millennial Ben is like, I do not know of these people you speak of. So why are we playing the do run song? It's because Mark watched the Chicago Bears defense on tape this week, and it literally gave him the runs.
Is that about...
That's a true statement.
That about the gist of it?
Yeah, that's a true statement.
Okay. Then without further ado... I want you to take about the next 90 seconds.
Okay.
Speak clearly.
All right.
Slowly.
Okay.
Make a lot of sense. Because this will probably end up running on our Sunday pregame show.
Okay, great. So you want my keys?
I want your keys
to victory.
Yes. Now, don't just be snarky and say silence. Meaning there are no keys to victory.
Right. Or just... Prayer.
Make the case. I mean, the Bears are 0-1. The Bears lost last week.
Yes, they did.
At home.
Yes, they did.
Okay?
Yes, yes.
They lost last year with Vic Fangio coaching this defense. They lost to the Dolphins. They lost to the Giants. Okay? They gave up 30 points in those games. Okay? So they're not invincible.
Right.
So, without further ado, give me about 90 seconds, keys to victory for the Broncos on Sunday.
Defensively, what the Broncos have to be able to do is make Mitchell Trubisky play quarterback from the pocket. Now, there's a lot of trick plays. There's a lot of motion stuff. There is a lot of the read zone with the play action options off of that. That's their running game. That's their passing game. The bubble screens. You've got to find a way to lock up Tariq Cohen, because he's an outstanding running back who also kind of plays wide receiver. And my suggestion is you don't play man on that guy, because he will spin you in circles if you try to put a linebacker on him. But the bottom line is you have to have rush lane integrity. You have to keep Mitchell Trubisky in the pocket, because from the pocket, he is not an efficient quarterback. Once he gets moving around and gets outside the pocket, he has the ability to hurt you, not only with accurate throws down the football field, sight throws, as we like to call them, but also scrambling around. So keep him in the pocket. Offensively, the Chicago Bears are absolute beasts, monsters of the midway. They are right there. So you're going to have to max protect. You're going to have to help your tackles out in this particular game. There is no question about that. I think misdirection stuff, take advantage of the speed of the Chicago Bears defense, get them running side to side and hit them with the boot keep game, some reverse type of game. You've got to be able to take advantage of their speed, because at all three levels, they've got all pro football players at all three levels of their defense. Those are the only ways. I think this is going to be a very low scoring game. It's going to be a very tight game. Don't turn the ball over. And you know what? Kicking field goals this week in the red zone will be a plus. If you can get there, you can win this game just on field goals alone.
Boom. Perfect. Well done. Myself and D-Mac, thank you, because we'll be doing the pregame show on Sunday from the View House in Littleton. Come on by and check that out. Great food, as always. Mm-hmm. We'll be there getting you ready right up until kickoff. I've actually got renewed enthusiasm.
Do you?
I do.
That's
because,
great news.
Because Monday night, all Monday night did was reinforce the idea that they didn't handle the preseason the right way. They didn't play enough to get ready.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't ready to play. And they lost a game that I believe will keep them from being able to win 10 games this year. Okay. Now you readjust. Now you refocus. What are you still playing for? What are you excited about? And I still believe that this is a season that when it's all said and done, we can feel like the arrow is going in the right direction. And this is a matchup, Mark, where, look, if the strength of this team is going to be the defense, and they're going to have to win games like they did in 2015, low-scoring games, close games, and they won a bunch of those that year, this game, I think, has the makings of that. I just don't fear or sweat Mitch Trubisky and this Bears offense. I think this defense is going to come out and play much, much better at home in front of the fans, feeding off the energy than they did Monday night. I think this defense is going to come to play. I fully expect the offense to struggle, but I'm going in this the idea that the Broncos can win this game 13-10. Absolutely believe that. And then we're 1-1 and we march on to Green Bay.
And things look a heck of a lot better,
right?
A heck
of a lot better, yeah.
A heck of a lot better. You know, I certainly have concerns. I will tell you this, looking and watching the Bears offense, because we really haven't talked about this because the defense, you know, the defense just, you know, made my stomach turn. But offensively, they really struggled up front. They struggled up front with the Packers. And I don't personally think the Packers are as good as we are up front. One of the things the Packers did do, though, is they lined up in what we call, and this is probably politically incorrect nowadays, I don't even know if you can say this, we called it a Navajo front. It's still considered a Navajo, but all three guard, center, guard covered with bigs. That was considered Navajo. Now let's call it a bear front, right? Because, you know, somebody's going to get upset that I said Navajo. I apologize, but that's what we always called it. You know, back then you could say that, like the Apache helicopter, you could say that, or, you know, or, you know, you, Project Geronimo was like the, you know, you used to be able to say things like that. Now we can't say it anymore. So I apologize for saying it. I didn't mean to. It's just what we used to say. Okay, they lined up in a bear front. Man, that was a diatribe, wasn't it? Hey, listen, shiny object. You never know where I'm going to go. Shiny object. You know, I'm just going to go down that road, Mike. Okay.
You notice I left you alone.
I know. I mean, I was just kind of, that was just what do you call that? A stream of consciousness,
yeah,
right?
Tangent.
Yeah, tangent.
You're known for them.
Yeah, I'm known to be tangential when I'm speaking about whatever it is I'm speaking about. Anyhow, they lined up in all three guys covered. They also walked up linebackers. They did a lot of things to create one, confusion on the inside and one-on-one matchups on the outside. So when you cover all three guys in at the center guard center position or center guard guard position, then your outside guys are one-on-one unless you bring a back over there or a tight end over there. You see what I'm saying? So the Packers did a really good job of confusing the front of the Chicago Bears on a consistent basis. And that was a huge difference maker, just a huge difference maker. So, I look at that and say, can we steal some things from the way the Green Bay Packers played? And obviously this is a copycat league. If they have trouble defending it, they have trouble, you know, blocking it, then you're going to see some of that stuff.
All right. If this defense is as fearsome as you make it out to be, then is this defense, the Broncos defense, ready on Sunday to go toe to toe with this Bears defense? We'll ask a defensive guy, Nick Ferguson. He's going to join us in studio next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank, banking for good.
All right, Nick Ferguson joining us here in studio as he does each and every Friday of Bud Light Football Friday. All right, Nick, Mark has painted a pretty bleak picture about how difficult it's going to be for the Broncos offense going up against this.
Nick, I got diarrhea watching Chicago, the Chicago Bears defense. They, all three levels. My Lord, Nick, the offensive lineman in me just wanted to curl up in the fetal position and cry.
Don't they call that Montezuma's Revenge?
But yeah, when you go, you go to Mexico and you drink the water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but every day here with Mark Schlereth is Montezuma's Revenge. Okay. Trust me. Trust me.
I know. Some guy told me, he stopped me at the airport. He goes, you know what I like about you? One of the most regular guys I know. I go, how do you know my bathroom
regular?
Patterns?
Regular. Like, how do you know my bathroom? No, just, that kind of regular. I thought you meant regular.
Like eating a lot of bran cereal.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Sorry.
All right. Let's just put that aside. let's put aside that Mark's right and this Bears defense is that fearsome. When you look at what the Broncos did defensively on Monday night and how you think it matches up with what the Bears showed in their game last Thursday, are you confident that for 1 week, this Broncos defense can be just as fearsome as the Bears defense?
Absolutely. Looking at the game Monday night, it was a lot of mistakes. Run game, passing game, guys not staying in their gaps, and guys not tackling. I mean, this is a defense coming in that we thought was going to be one of the more elite defenses in the league, and that was based on Coach Fangio and his scheme. And then having to book in guys like Chubb and Miller, you know, what we saw on Monday night is not what we anticipated, you know, rolling into the season. But I feel as though things can be fixed. All these things can be fixed because it's about attention to detail. You know, Mark was just showing me a play during the break of Josie Jewell, you know, running down the field when he was the hook player. Right? These are the things that you can fix. Correct. Show these players, hey, listen, this is not the way that we play defense. And one thing that stood out to me about Monday night's game was the look on Vangio's face. You know, he looked like he might have had what you had when you watching the Bears, and he looked a little disgusted. So this defense definitely needs to show up and turn things around. I truly believe that they can, because sometimes when we watch a team lose a game, we put a lot of emphasis on the negative things instead of the positive things. So they can definitely turn it around this week against the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, well, I was telling Mike, you know, you had the Deshaun Hamilton drop in the end zone. But I'm telling you, I think I had five plays that I charted that I did videos on. I do the videos for my crew so they can see what I see, right? So, you know, not for public consumption, but just so my crew understands the game. I try to educate them on the game a little bit. And, Emmanuel Sanders fell down five times. He should have had three touchdowns. Emmanuel should have had three touchdowns. He fell down five times, like on a wide open touchdown throws.
But that's not, Mark, that's easy to do if you're playing in Oakland with that baseball field.
Right. No, I mean, I understand that, but you know, I'm saying that with coming off the Achilles and all that stuff, Emmanuel was great. He would have been wide open. He just can't fall down. So, I mean, but I'm saying, I'm agreeing with you. There are a lot of things that are fixable. They should have won that game. That said, I want to take to you from a defensive perspective, because you've been a defensive coach in this league. When you get the ball out, and I thought John Gruden did a great job from a game planning standpoint of keeping his quarterback out of harm's way, getting the ball out, a lot of three-step drops, a lot of, you know, get the ball out right now to the tight end, to the receivers and all that stuff. Like, at some point, don't you have to make an adjustment as a defensive coach and say, hey guys, we're gonna run up here and press, and we're gonna disrupt these routes, and we're gonna try to get 58 and 55 an opportunity to get to the quarterback, because they had very limited opportunities to get there.
Yeah, that's what I thought was going to happen, but it never occurred.
Right.
And even if, and that doesn't mean that you have to run a lot of bump and run man in situations where quarterbacks.
Yeah, you can bump and run and still play zone behind it.
Well, yeah, you can, but the biggest thing that, you know, here's where Chicago's defense has been great this year. I know we only played one game, where I didn't see Fangio do with the Broncos defense on Monday night. They did a great job against the Packers disguising their coverage. Mm-hmm. They were rolled up like they were playing press coverage. But then on the snap of the ball, they were run out. You would have Eddie Jackson come down in the box like he's going to be that cover three safety.
Right.
And then now he's going to...
They would rotate
him,
out.
And
yeah.
they, it would kind of be an right. inverted type of right. situation. I didn't see that. And all you want to do is make the quarterback think post-snap. Just think a little, you know, is that guy going to drop? Is he coming on the blitz? Is he playing man? He's playing zone. That's what you need to do. The Broncos did not do that. That's why I'm a little more optimistic about this game than you are. And it's not just looking at, you know, how well the Bears defense play. It's about, well, what we did not see from the Broncos defense on Monday night, what they can bring to the table against Trubisky.
Okay, so one more question. Because, you know, Isaac Yiadom, a lot of people picked on him nationally, like, oh, I actually thought he had pretty good coverage. I thought One, obviously they didn't get to him, but he was pretty tight, like on the fade to Waller, and like he had decent coverage on all those things. They were just great. There was a lot of really good throws by Derek Carr.
No, it was absolutely great throws. The one that you're talking about where he was flexed out against Waller.
Right.
The only coaching point I would have for him is once that route is upfield, stop chicken fighting with the receiver because you give him an opportunity to push off because the receiver knows where the ball is supposed to
right.
be delivered.
Yeah, I thought as soon as Waller went up for it, he didn't adjust to Waller's hands very well. Like that was the only thing, like you didn't adjust to the because you didn't see it.
That's
right?
Like the reason he didn't see it, Mark, okay. because he was still fighting with it. Once that receiver's upfield and you see elbows and knees,
uh-huh.
he's going vertical. Now you have to run the route for him, run to cut him off, and then play through his hands. That was the only thing he didn't do
okay.
in that situation. And also, what was glaring that most people missed was Will Parks was on that side. He didn't have another wide receiver to bite his attention, so all he had to do was get over the top. These are some of the simple, subtle things that the Broncos mm-hmm. defense didn't do well. And there was another play where Yadam was beat on a deeper ball. I believe it was Tyrell Williams who beat him. And I was like, well, where's the safety? Everyone was at the line of scrimmage, mm-hmm. and Yadam, his technique could have been a lot better. If you know that your
right.
defense is an all-out blitz, you don't have a middle hole safety, get inside.
That see, that was the one where he had outside. I know exactly the play you're talking about because I said the same thing. You got 10 guys up, you're in zero. Zero coverage. You don't have a middle of the field safety, and he still had outside shade on Williams on that. Well, he lined up with outside shade, and so it wasn't a number split. It was inside, slightly inside the numbers, but you have to get inside, force him to either beat you on a fade and use the sideline as a defender. Correct?
Yes.
All right, Nick, give us a prediction. What do you think? You seem to like the Broncos' chances on Sunday.
Yeah,
he's got to pick them. He picked 12 and 4.
You got the wall of optimism.
Yeah, good point. At some point, you got to start banking some wins here if we're going to get to 12.
Well, this is going to be a low-scoring affair. This is going to be a 9-0-7 type of game. So I'm going to say 17-10 Broncos. And the score I just gave, I know I was talking to Ben earlier behind the glass, and he was just like, well, what are you thinking about? How are you expecting this Broncos team to actually score that many points against the Chicago Bears? You make those guys move. I mean, you're playing in altitude. And Akeem Hicks, he's a big dude.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to be able to run up in between the tackles a lot. So you get those guys crossing over. And the way that I look at it from a coaching standpoint, you want to make them defend both vertically and horizontally.
Yeah.
Throw those throwback screens. Open up Noah Fant. No more of these kind of condensed formation jet sweeps with the tight end. Open him up. And Scangarello knows because he knows this because we played week 16 against the same Bears defense. Fangio was a coach. We lost, I think, 14-9. So it was a very close game, but we were able to get the ball to George Kittle because we opened him up. And then we had those kind of stick nod type of plays
yeah.
that you have to utilize to get those linebackers to step up. So if they can do that, they can win this game.
All right.
All right. Sounds good. And also keep in mind, going to be 90 degrees plus on Sunday. Another hot day on Sunday.
Make those big boys run.
Make them move. Make them run. All right, Nick. Thank you very much. Nick Ferguson joining us here in studio. Four Down Territory coming up next.
Be quiet. I'm answering the question.
This is Four Down Territory.
Let's talk football.
Personal foul, 69. Offense. He was giving them the business.
That guy's pretty good. If you like 6'5", 230-pound quarterbacks, laser, rocket arms.
It's my quarterback. And if you guys do that, man, it's unfair.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Chicken parm, you taste so good.
Ready, Brad. First down.
I think Garrett's done well since we've been here. I think he's still a work in progress, like we said. But I think the future's very bright for him.
We do not speak his name.
Well, some serious mama catting going on yesterday with Vic Fangio. And it's been something that's been consistent. We know how Tommy Nalen, how a good chunk of the offensive lineman community out here in Denver feels about he who shall not be named.
Mm-hmm.
But Vic Fangio, who has a reputation of being a straight shooter, let's face it, going back to training camp where he talked about, hey, if this was a heavyweight fight, Garrett Bowles is the reigning champ. He's not close to being knocked out. To what you heard yesterday, it is very clear. The organizational mandate
is to keep propping this guy up. Keep saying good things. I guess the belief, Mark, is that if you're too honest when it comes to 72, their fear is that he will just crumble and fall apart.
Right.
Better to keep mama catting him.
If that's your fear, if being honest with one of your players is a fear because he can't handle it, then you've got the wrong player. End of story. There's no other explanation. If he can't handle the truth about the way he plays, then you don't have a player that you can count on.
How else do you explain Vic Fangio sounding very un-Fangio-like when talking about 72?
Because this is officer and a gentleman. You've got nowhere else to go. This is the depth that I talked about April, May, June, July, August, and now deep into September. You don't have enough depth.
Next in four down territory.
Second down.
I mean, if I don't get a sack, I'm gonna be upset. That's just how it is. Y'all been knowing me for 9 years. You know, if I don't get a sack, and then we lose on top of that too, it's a double loss for me. So, you know, that's my job, and I like to get my job done.
Well, Vaughn wants sacks. If there's one thing that Mitch Trubisky can do, is he can run around.
Mm-hmm.
So if the goal is to do what Green Bay said was their goal, was to make Mitch Trubisky play quarterback, then what has to be Vaughn's approach when it comes to going after Mitch Trubisky? Are you all about sacks, or is it just maintaining lane integrity and all that
you
stuff?
You can still rush the passer and maintain lane integrity, you know? I mean, you can still set guys up and, you know, set them up to the inside and dip. And, I mean, Vaughn Miller is one of the best I've ever seen in my entire life at dipping, at getting, you know, what would you call it, horizontal to the ground. Like, there's nobody that turns a corner. He's like Derek Thomas that way, the way he could dip underneath guys and turn a corner. So he's one of the best I've ever seen doing it. You can still do that and maintain rush lane integrity. Certainly, but rush lane integrity and keeping that guy in the pocket is of the utmost importance in my mind.
You know, I would love to get sacks. Sacks are awesome.
Sure.
But you know what I'd like to see more of? Quarterback pressures. Quarterback hits. Derek Carr was not hit once on Monday night. There were four quarterback pressures. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
So I get that Vaughn and all these pass rushers define themselves by sacks. Let's walk before we run. Can we just get some sustained pressure?
Right.
On Trubisky on Sunday? And if you sack him, great. But at least let's get... Let's really get in this guy's face for a while, shall we? Instead of just letting these guys play back there scot-free like Derek Carr did the other night?
Yeah, well, that's the complementary nature of football. That's not only your edge rushers and everything of that nature, but it's also, it's also from a coverage standpoint, disrupting routes, making sure that there aren't those quick, easy throws that we had against the Raiders last week.
Next in four down territory.
Third down. Yeah, I mean, that's football. You live by the sword, die by the sword. I know this. I want to be a fearless play caller, and I want our players to be fearless players and not be afraid to fail. You don't want to fail. It's part of the game. Obviously, I'd like to have it back.
There he is, Wrinkles, Rich Gangarello, Broncos offensive coordinator. So much has been made about a couple of the gadget plays. The jet sweep with Noah Fant on the first play, the swinging gate down by the goal line. Take those two plays out. What did you think of Rich Scangarello's play calling and really his first ever real exposure to calling plays at a big time level?
I thought he did well. I thought he did really well. I mean, there was a lot of, you know, conceptually speaking, there's a lot of plays called at the right time that should have been big plays, but for one reason or another, they weren't. You know, he had a touchdown. A touchdown to Emmanuel Sanders, where Emmanuel Sanders, you know, falls out of a pivot route and you know, hits the ground. And you've got the touchdown to Deshaun Hamilton, which was a really nice route, what hit him in the chest. I tell you, the guy who was really impressive was Cortland Sutton. Cortland Sutton route running and getting himself open in the middle of the field, not just a one-trick pony. He had an over route where they got nickel matched up to base. And so, he was running a route, an over route on a linebacker, and that first big one that they got. I mean, that was, you know, that was, that's play design, right? That's understanding what they're in, creating a play that they're, you've got a mismatch right there. It was a, so I thought he did a nice job.
Next in four down territory.
Fourth down.
In the red zone. Beakley calling the defense. The play action fake sold by Winston. Throws toward the end zone. It is a caught ball. Touchdown Tampa Bay. Godwin's got a touchdown catch against Carolina. And Tua, last time we played these guys. And the great throw by Winston hit him right in the hands in the end zone. Bucks take the lead.
Tampa Bay Buccaneer Radio. Let's see. Cam Newton looks like a shot quarterback.
Ugh.
I mean, here's the thing. You had a guy who relied extensively on his athleticism. He's, you can tell he's not right. You can tell he's banged up. And now he's in a position where a lot of that athleticism has been taken away, been robbed, and he's being forced to play quarterback. Something he's never been able to do. And now he's being asked to do it and he can't do it. And you see the results. They're bad.
Yeah. Even in, even his MVP season when he had 35 touchdown throws, 10 touchdown rushes, like there were 10 design quarterback runs a game. And the play action stuff off of that where you just had one single receiver you're looking at and throwing it to, like there were a lot of easy completions in there. And listen, that's good coaching. I get it. But you're 100% right. He either he doesn't want to do it anymore, or I think the franchise, because they've invested enough money in him, doesn't want him to do that anymore. And last year, he was playing at a really high level in Norv Turner's offense. For the first 8 weeks, he was 6-2 as a starting quarterback. He was completing almost like 67% of his passes in the first 8 weeks. Then he had the shoulder injury. And in this camp, you know, he's coming off that shoulder injury. He had surgery in January, and now he's got a foot injury as well. You can just tell, you know, it's completely affecting his mechanics. He's never been an accurate underneath thrower, intermediate thrower. And it just doesn't look good.
That'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the NFL. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. Don't forget, it's a Bud Light Football Friday. You can see Stokely and Zach live at Blake Street Tavern today from noon to 3. Register to win a $50 gift card. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Troy Rank joins us coming up next. We'll get his keys to a Bronco victory. Also, regarding that Bucks game last night, you see Shaq Barrett had 3 sacks. Why isn't he a Bronco? That's next. With our Denver 7 Bronco insider, Troy Ranke joins us now. He's presented by Tranny Law. Morning, Troy. Hey, Troy, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good. We're doing great, Troy. Hey, so obviously, big-time game this weekend. Rich Scangarello and this offense facing one of the premier defenses in the National Football League without question. Just general takeaway right off the bat on facing this defense, what you've seen and what you're hearing from the players that have to face it.
Well, I mean, they're unique, as Rich Scangarello said, and they have stars at all three levels. Up front, linebacker with Raekwon Smith, Danny Trevathan, and in the secondary, I mean, they're not an easy defense to attack. We all watched it on Thursday against the Packers. And Aaron Rodgers, when he's right, is the best quarterback in the league. And outside of a 47-yard pass, he had a tough go. So, I mean, the strategy appears to be keep it close, take care of the football, and then look for those 1, 2, 3 chances to take chances. You know, that's that balance you got to find. Take care of it, take a few chances, and keep it, you know, in that 13-10 range, 16-13. I mean, you're not going to get into a high-scoring affair with this Bears defense unless there's just some bizarre turnovers on the other end that flip the field. But, yeah, when I watched that Bears defense, even going back to when they were interviewing Fangio, they just do a lot of things really well. It's not unlike the Broncos 15 defense in some ways.
You know, I embrace a game like this because if the Broncos are going to exceed expectations, they're going to have to do it first and foremost with their defense, Troy. And it would seem like this one's set up that whatever this defense can be, it should be brought out on Sunday. There's an urgency to bounce back after Monday night. There's the idea of going up against a highly touted defense in Chicago. You want to show that you're right there with them. And the understanding that it shapes up as a pretty good matchup against this Chicago offense led by the underachieving Mitch Trubisky. I would think that this is a game that
the Broncos should embrace if they want to win games the way they think they can win.
Yeah, I mean, it gives you an idea of where you are when you play the Bears defense. I mean, offensively, how can you win a game ugly? Because you're right, it profiles that way. I would agree with you, secondly, too, that you need a sense of urgency, because if you go 0-2, you can make the playoffs, but, I mean, again, that's their vision. I've said all along, I think they're more of a team in transition, but if you go 0-2, about 12% of the teams historically make the playoffs after that start, and it would include a loss at home. I mean, that's why those losses are even more damning for a team. When you look at the Broncos' road schedule, there's not a lot of clear wins on paper. That's why that Raiders game hurt, is that's a game they were favored. You know, yeah, it's a tough game, but the reality is they were favored. I don't know how many road games they will be favored in moving forward. So, but yeah, if you want to go play kind of, you know, smash mouth football, face mask to face mask, get after it, there's no better judge than facing the Bears right now, because they're just as willing to win ugly.
You look at this game, you break this game down, and we talk about, you know, what the Broncos have to do offensively to have some success, and red zone has been an issue and all those things. But as you look at Emmanuel Sanders, and you know, I broke this down, he must have fallen down 5 or 6 times within that game. He's got to play big. What are some of the keys to the Broncos offense for them to have some success against this this defensive football team?
Well, I think you got to get the ball out of Joe Flacco's hands a little earlier. I mean, we asked Flacco about it, and he was saying, like, you don't kind of reinvent yourself for one opponent, but the reality is he can't be in 7-step drives looking around the field with Floyd and Mack rushing. I mean, Broncos tackles, Wilkinson starting for the first time now at right tackle with James out. Bowles was inconsistent, as you noted, Mark. I mean, you've got to put Flacco in a position to get the ball out more quickly. And that's where, with me, with Emmanuel, is those quick slants, those quick ends, get him the ball in space. Maybe it's 6 yards, maybe it's 8. But, you know, the field played a factor. Emmanuel said that after the game. He was mad at himself, like, you know, because he only had one target in the first half. And he said there was plays called to me, and, you know, I was falling on that field, and Scangarello said the same thing. And that's not an excuse. It's a reason that it happened. They're back at home where the turf has not been an issue for Sanders that I can recall ever in his career here. So they need to get him going. He's their best offensive player in on many nights. And you could argue.
Oh, did we lose Troy?
Get Emmanuel. Oh, but one thing they did well, Mark, in the second half of that game, Scangarello stayed patient, and they ran the ball pretty well. They're going to have to be able to do that to set up their passing game.
Hey, Troy, Shaq Barrett had a big game last night for Tampa Bay. 3 sacks. He's got 4 sacks, 8 tackles through 2 games. All this for a guy who's working on just a 1-year deal at chump change, $3 million guaranteed. Why weren't the Broncos able to keep him here? How did that thing all go down? Refresh our memories.
Yeah, he wanted to stay. He had interest in staying. They had interest in keeping him. It came down to one thing specifically. He wanted an opportunity to start. I talked to Shaq throughout that process. When they hired Brandon Staley, the linebackers coach, Staley called him and said, hey, we want you here. You know, Vic wants you here as that third outside linebacker. But that was the issue. That was the rub. Third out, he wasn't going to be given an opportunity, obviously, to start in front of Von Miller and or Bradley Chubb. And because both those guys are, you know, future stars in the league, and Bond's case, he's a future Hall of Famer for me. So it really came down to, it wasn't so much a money issue. As Shaq wanted to go to a team that said to him, when you get here, you have an opportunity to start. And that was it. And it wasn't like he was looking to get out of here. He wanted to stay. He's just like, I can't stay in Denver and not, I at least got to see what it looks like if I start. Maybe I'm not that guy. But he felt for the last 2 years he was. And he bet on himself with a deal that was below market value. And now, I mean, based on his current track, if he gets to 12, 13, 14 sacks, he's going to get paid. Good for him. The guy that went from CSU star to practice squad, changed his body, was a huge contributor for the Broncos for several years. It just didn't work out here because of the role that was offered to him.
Yeah, he had a great night. It was always fun to see those guys, but always makes you wonder as I'm watching Chicago film and then I'm watching him play. I'm like, why is Danny Trevathan not here? And why is Shaq Barrett not here? All right, Troy, it's time, man. We got to put you on the spot. Who wins this game?
Yeah, man, these games are getting... I thought they beat the Raiders. It was really disappointing that first half. But because of the sense of urgency, Pat Bowlen, we honored in a moment of silence before the game. There's a lot of emotion around this game with Chicago coming back to play Fangio. It's, for me, it's kind of those, if you can't win this one at home, when do you start winning? So I have them winning 16-13.
I think that's going to be the score, that kind of score, if the Broncos have any chance of winning this one. Thank you, Troy.
You got it, guys. See you.
All right, Troy Rank brought to us by Tranny Law. And Troy will be part of our pregame show, big pregame show, taking you right up until kickoff. D-Mac and I back together again. We'll try to avoid not killing each other, but we've been doing the pregame show for years, and we're back again at the View House in Littleton. Come on by on Sunday. We're registering people for a trip for two to L.A. to see Denver play the Chargers on October 6th. This is the only date we are registering people for the trip. So if you want to try to win, come on by the View House in Littleton for your chance to win. It's a two-night stay, airfare, and tickets to the game. So that'll be a lot of fun as we start the pregame show at noon coming up on Sunday. Okay, well, does that explanation fly for you when it comes to, hey, we want to check back? Shaq wanted to stay, but he was just boxed in behind Vaughn and Bradley Chubb. Or is the way that defenses are used now, where it's not your traditional defense, that you can move guys around and guys can play hybrid-type positions. Was there a chance, especially at that cheap money, you're talking about 1 year, $3 million guaranteed, to find a role for Shaq that would have given him, okay, maybe he's not the starting outside linebacker, but he's still out there on the field enough to give him what he wanted.
There comes a time in your career where you want to get a chance. And this happens a lot. You know, you see it in baseball all the time where you're just stuck in a logjam. Like if you were drafted to be a first baseman with the Colorado Rockies for 17 years while Todd Helton was manning that position, you were like, I either have to switch positions or switch organizations because I am not going to usurp Todd Helton anytime soon. You know what I'm saying? And so for Shaq Barrett, the only way you're probably going to keep that guy is get to him early before he has the opportunity to leave and say, man, we want to lock you up to a 5-year deal and make you a really well compensated backup. And if you're not willing to do that, because everybody is a competitor, man, you have to be an uber competitor. So you want your opportunity to start. And we've seen this. We saw it for years. You know who I always think about when it comes to this? Is Keith Burns. Keith Burns, back in my day, was one of the best special teams players in the National Football League, but he never got an opportunity to start here. And then he became a free agent. They wanted him, or we wanted him. We didn't want to lose him. It was painful when we lost him because he was such a glue guy in that locker room. He was such, I mean, he just brought offense and defense together. He was always the best at giving you a look. He'd always played Junior Seau, and he was just extremely gifted that way. But guess what? He got an opportunity to be a starter for Chicago. And he was like, that's it. I want to go try. And so he went out there to Chicago. Now, you know, he eventually came back because the whole starting role just didn't work out as well as I'm sure he would have liked it to work out. But the bottom line is you want to see. Like you don't get to this point of your career. You don't get to the National Football League and say, boy, I just hope that I'm a backup. Like everybody has aspirations. And sometimes you get to the point where you're like, you know what? That's what I am. I'm fine with it because I'm a good player, but I'm not quite ready for prime time. But if you have that opportunity, you're certainly not going to bypass it to say, no, I'm just happy being a backup.
All right, fair enough. Then I won't get on the Broncos for looking bad because Shaq had the kind of night that he had last night. He wasn't going to start over Bradley Chubb or Von Miller, and so
right,
there you go.
Rightfully so.
All right, so that one you don't hold them accountable in any way.
No.
What about Danny Trevathan? Should Danny Trevathan still be a Bronco? All these years later.
Yeah,
especially when you look at the issues they have at inside linebacker.
Yeah, again, as I look back, I think he had some injuries, some concussion issues. I just don't remember why he left, but the way he's playing right now, it certainly makes me look back and go, boy, Danny Trevathan really looks good. He really looked good in orange and blue. I just don't.
Well, the last time he was here was the Super Bowl year.
Mm-hmm.
Played in 15 games, 109 tackles. I mean, just the prototypical middle linebacker, racking up tackles, the captain of your defense, making all the calls.
Mike, but the biggest thing is he's not a liability in pass coverage. That's the biggest thing. So he's, you know, he's a guy that you play nickel with. He's a guy that you keep in. He's a three down guy because he can run, he can cover, and he's side to side, diagnose, go hit somebody. He is a really, really outstanding player.
He actually had injury issues his first 2 years in Chicago.
Okay.
Since leaving here. Last year, he was healthy for a full season. And again, the production was right there, up over 100 tackles again.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, he signed, it was after the Broncos won the Super Bowl. He signed a 4-year, $28 million contract.
Right. And they probably just weren't willing to.
Right.
They just weren't willing to go there.
That's one that got away.
Yeah.
That's one that got away. Malik Jackson, do you think of Malik Jackson's one that got away? He's hurt now, but do you consider, I mean, they kept Derek Wolfe. They made a choice.
Yeah.
They made a choice between Derek Wolfe and Malik.
I think Malik probably, you know, cashed in on a huge season, but he was surrounded, you know, with Ware on one side, Von Miller on the other side, Wolf playing well. Like, it was just like, if you're going to single somebody, single him. And he took advantage of it. I think the Broncos probably made the right decision.
This is KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont, Denver. Time now for Question Mark, presented by Breaks Plus, and getting a lot of these today with the news that we talked about, all those Dolphin players that want out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one guy that the Dolphins are reportedly shopping is DB Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Mm.
All right, so we talked yesterday about trade for Trent Williams.
Mm-hmm.
This question comes in, and it asks, Mark, who would you prefer the Broncos to make a play for, Trent Williams or Minkah Fitzpatrick?
Trent Williams.
Still.
That's not even a question. Minkah Fitzpatrick is a good player. Don't get me wrong. He's a really good player.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank. Banking for good.